I'm sitting outside the BBC Six music stage, and there's an old saying that goes, "You shouldn't meet your heroes." But I'm sat with one of them now. I'm joined by Stuart from Mogwai, who are going to be headlining the BBC Six stage tonight. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. So you're going to be headlining tonight. Have you played here before?
Yeah, we actually played the very first Latitude Festival. It was a lot smaller back then. I think it was in 2006, but I remember thinking it was really nice, so I'm glad they've persevered with it.
Yeah, it's kind of grown and grown, like every year, so it's going to be good. And so you've got in yesterday. Are you going to, at any kind of bands that you want to try and catch, or...?
To be honest, there's quite a lot of them. One of the ones I really wanted to see is James Holden, but he's playing the same time as us. But yeah, there's some good stuff on that stage, which I'm not sure quite where it is. And I want to see Slow Dive, who are playing before us too. So yeah, and I'll probably just have a wander. I quite like that about festivals, you can just have a wander about and sometimes just see something that you've never heard of before, so I'll probably do that too.
I must admit, I'm as well looking forward to Slow Dive. I last saw them 23 years ago, one of my very first gigs I ever went to was Slow Dive. And when they reformed, it was kind of like, wow, one of the good kind of reformations.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, I probably saw them around about the same time. And it's nice. I've seen them a few times already this summer. We've done quite a few festivals with them. So yeah, I'm excited about it too.
And right, so in January, you released, which I believe your eighth album, Rave Tapes, which has had a very good reception to it, and you've pretty much been touring solidly since then. How's the tour going?
It's been really good. Quite a lot of it. We've played a lot of gigs, but yeah, I think it's definitely been a pretty positive experience. I think we're getting better at playing the songs, which is one of the best things about doing a lot of touring and being at some new places as well. We played in Slovakia last week, which was really great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's fun. Looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, I cannot wait. So with the album and the recording of the album, there's four of you that do the kind of songwriting for the band. So with the album, do you all kind of write stuff, do little things, and then you all kind of come together and see how it fits?
Yeah, I mean, we just get the songs into some kind of presentable shape, and then just record them and choose the ones that fit together best. We've actually got another four songs that we've just got to finish. We're going to do an EP, which I was hoping to come out this year, but I don't actually know when we'll have a chance to finish it, but yeah. We just all muck in, basically.
And when you go into kind of do an album, do you ever have like a theme, or is it just kind of, it just grows and as you record? Or
yeah, a theme kind of develops usually, but it's not predetermined by us. I think a lot of the songs Barry wrote, he wrote on his modular synth, so I think this album has a real kind of 70s sci-fi sound to it, but we didn't plan that. It just happened, and then I guess when we were compiling the record, those were the ones that sort of fitted together best. So it kind of chose itself in a way.
And this one does definitely have a kind of krautrock feel to it as well.
Yeah, I think again that's a lot to do with the instrumentation, but I mean that's music that we all love, and we've probably got more into it as the years have went on, discovering more bands. I mean, I guess like most people that get into krautrock, you kind of start off with Neu and Can, who are both amazing, but then you find out about other bands and all sorts of different things that happen. It was a really interesting period for music, so yeah, I definitely agree with that.
And one thing that I've always wondered about that, because most of the songs you do are instrumental, do you find that because of that, and you know, there's not the kind of lyrics that the songs can be a bit more improvised in the studio and they can grow a bit better?
A little bit. I mean, I'm sure you could do that as well if you had singing, but to be honest, I think one of the factors on this album was that we left it quite last minute, so we ended up writing a lot of parts in the studio. The songs themselves were sort of mapped out and everything, but actual parts, because there were so many songs, we kind of, a lot of it was written on the spot, and I think we're getting good at that. So I actually think some of the best parts on this record are ones that, certainly for me, that I just made up that second.
And so, and also this year is the 15th anniversary of Cody, and there's going to be a kind of box set reissue next week, is it, that it comes out? Were you quite involved in putting that together?
Yeah, we were really involved. Chemical Underground had the idea for it. In fact, it was meant to be the 10th anniversary, but it took a long, long, long time to find all the songs. And we knew that we'd done these songs. We could remember it. We were like, no, we did that, and that. And we just couldn't find it. And actually, it ended up that we actually found the tape. We'd lost the mixes, but we found the tape of these sessions that we did in Glasgow. And we went and... We went and remixed them again because we'd obviously lost the mixes, but some of that stuff's some of my favourite things to do with the band, so I'm actually really glad. We also recorded a bunch of songs just for the hell of it in the actual church of Savas Studios, which was an old church, but just in the sort of...
Oh, okay.
Which they also used it as the courtroom in Taggart. So we did all these songs just with ambient mics, and we just did it because we thought it would sound cooler. We probably did it by setting up a drum kit and thinking, drums sound good here, why don't we get some amps up and do it, some songs like that, which was complete indulgence, to be honest. If Chemical Underground knew we'd been wasted their money like that, they probably would have killed us, but it sounded brilliant. And we even did old songs, so we've got like a version of Helicon 2, a song that we never even finished, and Kappa we did in the church.
And what was it like going back to revisiting that kind of period of your lives?
It was good, because that was a really good time for the band. I think that was just probably when we first realised that, not first realised, but we were in a position to make a record with a budget, because Mogwai Young Team, we did it really cheaply because we didn't know if anyone was going to buy it, and the label didn't have a lot of money, and just basic things. And this, like, we had a budget to record. We were just really enjoying it, just really working hard, but having a lot of fun. Yeah, it was good. And it was weird too, because some of the songs none of us could even remember. Like, I guess we must have been working really fast too, so some of the songs we maybe thought, oh, we'll come back and finish that or do more to it, and we just never did because we had enough songs. But yeah, it was a good experience going back to it.
Excellent. Now, you also run a label, Rock Action Records, just released the new Remember Remember album, which is very, very good. Are you quite selective with the artists that you sign? Because you've got a roster of really great, like Errors as well. Their last album, Have Some Fun, Faith in Magic, was excellent as well. How do you go about kind of getting the band onto the label?
We should probably work harder at it, to be honest. A lot of them are people we know. I mean, Graham, who does Remember Remember, who's the main guy in Remember Remember, played with Mogwai for a year or so. And yeah, we'd known about his music. And as soon as he started his Remember Remember project, we're like, yeah, we're going to do that, because Graham's insanely talented. And Errors are a great band, but they're kind of our friend's little brother's band. Like, in fact, Simon's big brother's here doing sound for... Phantom Band, so they're people we know, or at least we know them through people. We're going to put out the next Mugstar album. Do you know that band?
Okay.
And like, yeah, one of Mugstar used to be in Kling Klang. I mean, they tend to be people we know. I mean, we are fussy, but we should probably find some other people we don't know.
But I suppose it's, you know, because you're busy with the band touring, and it must be quite hard to do that as well.
We've got a label manager, we've got a guy called Craig who sorts everything out. Like, if you see all these posters for our album everywhere Craig sorted that out. We didn't sort that out. So like, we've got someone working full time on it, so can't take all the credit.
Now, if I'm right in something I read, that you're quite a collector of records.
Yeah, I'm a
tissue. So when did you first start kind of collecting?
Just as soon as I got into music, actually. My sister collected vinyl, and I'd listen to her records, but I guess just when something would come out that she was maybe wasn't into, or I was more keen to hear, I would start buying it. So since when I was like 14, I suppose. Yeah.
And what are your prized possessions?
I've got the first Velvet Underground album, like with the peel off sleeve. The sleeve is peeled off, so it's probably not worth that much money, but it's still a cool, rare thing. I've got the first Television 7, Little Johnny Jewel. I like that a lot. Yeah, they're the two that spring to mind.
And, right, so next year, if I'm right, it's going to be the 20th anniversary of Mogwai. Over two kind of things. Over the years, what are the highlights to you, the moments that really have stood out and you've kind of gone, you know, this is amazing?
I guess most of them are gigs. Like I remember the first big gig we ever did, we supported Pavement at one of those NME gigs at the Astoria in 1997, and before that we'd only ever played in pubs, and I remember us playing and just the sound really fell in the room, and I think that was a real sort of light bulb moment. We were like, wow, alright, we don't have to be a band that just plays in pubs. This actually like works in a proper gig. So that was amazing. And just like maybe just kind of landmark things. Like when Come On Die Young was out and we played last at Glastonbury. It was just a really big deal. Yeah. I remember when after Mogwai Young Team had been out for a couple of months, like, the label tells it sold 10,000 copies, and I remember just I could visualize what 10,000 people was, and I was like, that's unbelievable. Like, until just before that, we'd been like worried that we wouldn't sell all 500 7 inches, you know. So like those kind of moments, and even the first time we went to Japan was amazing. Yeah, I mean, there's been too many to even. I could probably bang on for hours and hours. We're very lucky. We've been lucky to do a lot of great things.
And another question from that, from when you started, what do you think that you've seen has been kind of the biggest change musically in those 20 years?
Probably the internet, to be honest. I mean, I think that's just opened. I mean, I don't think Slowdive would be playing tonight if it wasn't for the internet. You know, I think that it's opened up a whole new generation to music that they didn't know about. And I think that's helped us a lot because we were never really on the radio so much.
I remember the first time I heard you was John Peel.
Yeah. I mean, obviously now John's not around. I'm actually doing an interview with The Sun later on, which is kind of cool. It's kind of passed the baton down. But it's harder for people to hear less mainstream music. So I think the internet's really helped out in that respect.
Yeah, that's right. So you've been touring for quite a bit. You've got a benefit coming up in a couple of weeks at the Coco as well. That's for someone who used to do your sound. Is that right?
Yeah, Julia Brightley, who used to do our sound for a few years and was just a really great friend. And she passed away when we were in America, so we couldn't go to the funeral. We didn't even get to. She was so ill, none of us got to even really speak to her. So yeah. We just thought it'd be a nice thing. She was transgender, so her friend suggested a charity that helps out younger people going through that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And what else have you got planned? So there should hopefully be an EP, and then are you going to be doing the second series of? I've got to see if I can say it probably. Les Revants, or
yeah, we're doing that, and we've got another film thing we're kind of working on, and. I think we're probably going to do a compilation for it being 20 years of the band. Yeah. We never really stop.
It's nice to be busy though, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, I like going on holiday sometimes, but like after I've been away for maybe a week, I'm like, I need to do something. The rest of them probably hate me because I'm like, we need to do something.
And final question, this is not music related, but on the 18th of September, it's the Scottish referendum, how do you think it will go, and what are your feelings on that?
The answer to the first one is I don't know how it's going to go. I'm very pro-independence.
Yeah.
Not from any kind of negativity towards other places in the UK, but just from a democratic point of view. Yeah. Like most of my life, we've had Tory governments, and Scotland's never voted Tory.
Yeah.
So that's my point of view on it. And but I don't know how it's going to go. I actually saw a poll this morning that a lot of Labour supporters are voting yes, which is a good sign, because the Labour Party in Scotland have tried to make it a very partisan issue, when in fact I see it as a democratic issue. In fact, I think the Labour Party would probably do really well in an independent Scotland.
Yeah.
And also my view to the other places in the UK is that there's been a real lurch to the right from London, from the London parties, from Westminster basically.
Yeah.
And I think that if Scotland became independent and became a more socially progressive place, it would probably put pressure on those parties to say, or people to say to them, look, this, we can do this without being known as poor. But yeah, that's my point of view.
That's it. And also, the day before I come down here, I saw this kind of horrific video for the Let's Stay Together. It was one of the worst. I thought it was a parody. First of all, until I saw all these celebrities, it was. Oh, if that's what they've got, I think you'll probably be pro when it comes around.
The other issue as well is in most elections, just normal elections, there's maybe a 50 or 60% turnout. They're looking at a 90% turnout on this,
and that's massive.
And the people who will be voting will be people who have never voted before, so they're probably pretty disenfranchised, and I think there's more in it for them to vote yes, especially since the coalition cuts at the moment, things like the bedroom tax, all that. So that gives me a bit of hope, but we'll see. It's going to be a stressful couple of months.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it'll turn all right. Thank you very, very much for sitting down with us. I can't wait for tonight, I must admit. And good luck for the rest of the year and everything else.
Cheers, and thanks for my first ever interview organised via Twitter.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
All right, guys.